Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Podcast.
Jordan Bell's Bird. Jordan Bell's Bird. Yo, 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 yo. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Bell Third. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the Molly and I think it's be my third.
What is going on, DGen Nation? Ken and Kim here bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast. It's Masters Week, baby. We're hyped. We're getting into it. The best tournament of the year. A little bit of a different time, but still, we're ready. Tambo, how you doing this week, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm just as pumped up as you are. Finally, this was a great event we just had, but we've been waiting for this. So, man, it's been on the calendar. It's been circled. We got the November set up. Seeing some great little teaser videos, some pictures from around the course, hearing some things. So, excited to get into this one. Pricing's been out for a minute, so we're doing this a little bit early for everybody. Hope you appreciate that, and we're going to get it out to you with some info. First look, of course, not a lot to go off of, but plenty of, you know, past information, stuff we've seen recently, and then, of course, everything we just have at the Houston Open. But before we get into the Houston Open, Kenny, just want to remind everyone quickly, this podcast is presented and sponsored by rotogrinders.com. Head on over to rotogrinders.com/dgen. Now is the time. Get in there. We know NBA's coming back. We still got football, golf for the Masters Week, all my stuff I'm doing over there. Check it out. That's rotogrinders.com/dgen. Get yourself $5 off for the first week.
Yeah, so the Houston Open, what a win by Carlos Ortiz. I never thought he'd have the first – he'd beat Abraham Ancer as the first Mexican to win in 42 years. Didn't see that happening. To have the stones to hold off Decky and DJ – and Koepka and the big dogs coming up on Sunday. That was really impressive, man. I mean, his iron play was great. He really, really looked good last week. We talked a little bit about him last week. I wrote him up in my article as one of my favorite plays in the 6K range, so that worked out. Couple of other, you know, it was a good event, and he really showed some stones. What'd you think about the event?
Yeah, I thought it was incredible. Like you said, just not what we just talked about. I was all over DJ. You know, I said that he's going to try and win both of these back-to-back. And sure enough, he did. I don't think enough people were on that. So I love that. The putt at the end there, man, the little half step forward for Carlos Ortiz. Love to see that. And it reminded me, you know, we're in COVID era now, but it reminded me a little bit of when Keith Mitchell got his win. Similar scores, 13 under, 11 unders. Couple guys waiting. That was Ricky Fowler and Brooks Koepka. This was Hideki and DJ. Very similar types of two guys that we talk about in comparison. You know, Hideki and Ricky without a major. DJ and Brooks obviously all over the map when comes to taking down tournaments, and then a young guy needs to make a putt. In this case, it was a two putt for him versus Mitchell, needed to drain that one. But still, Ortiz made it. I loved it. I thought it was great, man. And the emotion that poured out of him after was just awesome to see. It just goes to show, right, how hard these things are. This is a cool guy we've seen on a few times talking about playing video games with Varner and the boys and just doing all kinds of stuff, man. And his wife was there. Everything just to see was awesome for him. So overall, you know, not the most exciting event, in my opinion. It was nice, but I think it was just because I was so hyped up for what's to come here with what we're about to talk about with the Masters. But again, love seeing it. We talk about Ortiz all the time. He's a guy, if he makes the cut, we say it all the time, he has upside. And what did he do? He went on to win. So good for him and good for those that rostered him, because he took down for everybody that rostered him this week.
Yeah, the course played a little bit tougher than I thought. Definitely didn't think it was going to play like that. It was, I think the scoring average was like, couple over par before Friday. I think it got a little bit easier on the weekend. We saw some pretty good low scores coming in on the weekend. I don't know if they watered the greens or what they did. But definitely have to mark that down for Memorial. The greens had a lot more undulation than I thought they would. You know, that's what happens when we get these new courses that we've never seen before. We're taking educated guesses, trying to see how this works. And it worked out personally for me. I mean, winning week in DraftKings again. Cash lineup was good. Three of the four cash game cornerstones made the cut. I don't know what the hell happened to Adam Schenck. Also, betting-wise, My dumbass, of course, didn't bet Carlos Ortiz, even though I wrote him up. You know, I just played him on DK, which sucks. But I did hit my favorite bet of the week once again for my article. JT Poston top 20. I got to thank Dowie Vanderwalt for bogeying the final hole to get the minus fours back into the top 20. That was huge. Made my day. I also had a Burns top 20 ticket. That hit easily as well. It's been really good betting-wise for me here recently. I think I have, in the last month, I've had about 1,000% return on investment. So the bankroll is swollen right now with the Brian Gay live ad, with the Laird live ad, hitting these top 20 bets basically for the last 5 weeks. I've hit my favorite bet of the week in my article. I've won 9 straight NFL games in a row. This week I had the Miami at minus plus 4.5, and I had Green Bay minus 7. So I won both of those. It's just been, so the betting wise has been great. So it was great to win on both. Bankroll swollen. What I'm doing is now I'm just making larger bets. I'm trying to win more money. So that's what it's going to be. So, you know, usually like I set my limit around $50 for a top 20 bet. I bet posted at $100 and plus 285. So that was almost a $300 win. So that's basically what's going on right now. You know, all the bets I've made for the Masters, it's 4-figure wins is what I'm hoping. So we're doing it now. We're doing it. We're going well. And hopefully the DFS part goes well, goes ahead and does well also. How'd you do this past week?
I'm just laughing. I'll tell you in a sec. But Vegas Kenny over here, man, just busting it out. He's winning. It's time to up those bets. Go, you know, 50 stars instead of 10 on the next big play and do it all just in time for the Masters where you know it's just going to be crazy versus what we expect. So love to hear that, man. I'm happy that you're winning. It's going to be great. I did not have the best week. You look at the leaderboard, you just scroll right down to about 68th place there, and you can tell why I didn't with a guy named Cam Davis, 15 over for the week. Not bad. You know, good showing there. And then all of his buddies decided to join him. You know, Doc Redman, Lanto Griffin, who else? Sungjae Im, even Sam Burns. I know you got him top 20 and still a T7, but couldn't really do anything on Sunday. Just sort of what we're used to seeing. So all of these guys just completely disappeared on me. I got some 6 out of 6s through versus what the field was at. You know, it all felt good going into the weekend. And then Saturday was okay. And Sunday just disappeared. So not the best, but you know me, man, I'm always looking forward to these majors. That's where I seem to shine, especially, you know, something like this, a little bit shorter field, different cut rules, all these things that are coming up. I think I'm going to go and play. I think I'm just going to max the $20 this week instead of play the $4,500 mega, just because I think one lineup is not going to be my strength. And I don't really love the payout structure there. I was feeling it last week, but now I'm not anymore. So I'll probably play the same amount of money, but just do 3 in the 555 and max the milli there. But looking forward to get back to it, Kenny. Like, this was a rough one, man. I was happy to see Ortiz, but I got a bunch of stuff at the top, right? Just not the right mix. You know, DJ was up there. I said I'd even play Matsuyama at 10K, which was rare for me, but I was feeling that one. And man, he made a good run too this week. So I think the one thing as we're going into the next conversation here, Kenny, is that all these guys just, it's a complete mind fuck now going into the Masters, right? It's all these guys, Jason Day, who I liked last week. I bet him, Dustin Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, Brooks, turned it on huge day on Sunday and great overall. Are all these guys are ones that we were wondering about for the Masters on top of all the guys who weren't here at the Houston Open. So be interesting to hear your thoughts as we get into it for this week.
Yeah. I mean, of course I said I'd fade DJ. That was probably a mistake, but I played Koepka. So it wasn't the worst mistake, but definitely a little bit of a mistake there. Didn't play Decky, and their Sundays really hurt me because halfway through the third round, I was winning the dollar short game. You know, that would have been a hell of a week, but then, you know, it just totally collapsed on Sunday. I don't even think that lineup finished in the top 100. So that's how my Sunday went when it came to the FS. I was just glad that I won my cash and I picked up a few dollars in GPPs also. But we are, before we get into I'm so excited about this tournament. But I almost forgot about the Listener League. So let's go over our Listener League winner from this past week. It's Ahmed 345, Fantasy National Avatar. He went ahead and started. He had 477.5 points. He started with Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama, 1 and 2, right there. So 2 and 2. They both tied for second. Really good start. So basically, he went stars and scrubs. He had Cam Davis in the lineup, only 44.5 points. but he had him in the lineup. Of course, he finished 68th, 15 over par. Sepp Straka had a good showing this week, fifth place, minus 8, 96 points. Adam Long, who played pretty well, 67.5 points. Finished in 11th place. And Bryce Garnett, 50th place, plus 3, 64.5 points. A little shocking. Bryce Garnett even made the cut. Usually a short course specialist, and this definitely wasn't a short course. What did you think of the lineup?
Extremely unique. Yeah, you know, 0.8% Garnett, 1.5% Long, 6% Matsuyama, and 8.5% Straka. I think that's the most we've seen lately. And not like DJ was high-owned, 13%. So, you know, it's funny enough, the chalkiest guy he had in Cam Davis was by far the absolute worst, right? He starts off with a 67 and then just buries himself Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Had enough of a head start to make the cut, but it didn't help. So, good job to him overall. Shout out to Chota 10 as well. In third, he got third and seventh. So two in the top seven there. That's nice to see. But Ahmed 345, I'll be adding you to the year-end Tournament of Champions with us, as well as we will see you in the three-man for the Masters this week. So excited about that.
All right, so let's get to the Masters. We'll go ahead and go over the course. I'm sure most of you guys know how this course plays and what it looks like, so it's not that in-depth. But I will do a little bit of a course preview here. Augusta National Golf Club is a 7,500-yard par 72. It depends on where they put the tee boxes, with four par threes and four par fives. The par fives are where the majority of the scoring comes from, as they're the four easiest holes on the course. And the six par fours over 450 yards are where golfers need to hold on and just try and make par. Off the tee, only one par three over 200 yards. All the other ones are somewhat short. Off the tee, golfers will see tree-line fairways with above-average width. They're wide fairways. Bunkers and landing areas, and very, very light rough. When I went to the Masters, I mean, like, the rough at the Masters is basically the fairway at the Muni you play at. So you don't have to worry too much about that. The fairways are heavily undulated and usually lush. So even though they'll have some rollout, you know, it won't be like U.S. Open events where dry conditions can make the ball run out for 50 yards or more. Now, the one difference this year is, you know, with it being in November, they did oversee the course with rye. What that does, it forces the greenskeepers to water the greens, the grass excessively, a lot more, to keep it alive. So you mix that in with the rain in the forecast, I don't think there's going to be that much rollout on the fairway. So it's going to make the course play a bit longer. I think that's going to be the only real difference when it comes to the tournament being in November. Also, the winds are going to be light, it looks like, as well. Now, the greens, they have like the state-of-the-art sub-air system at Augusta. So, you know, they might play a little bit more receptive, softer than they normally would, but they're still going to play pretty firm unless the storms are bad. If it's a deluge of rain, then it's, you know, something to keep an eye on, and it should make scoring, I think, a little bit easier for this Masters event than we've seen in, you know, sometimes in the past few years. Last year was pretty high scoring as well, but so those are just a couple of differences from when it's going to be from November to April, just to let you know. Now, if the golfers miss the fairway and hit into the trees, they'll have to deal with approach shots from the soft pine straw, which is always very tricky. Water will also be on play in a few holes on the back nine. On approach shots, golfers see greens that are above average in size, very large greens. But it's sort of misleading. First off, the greens slope heavily from back to front, which makes hitting approaches under the hole important. There are also so many slopes and contours in the greens that they will be playing much smaller. Golfers have to target certain small areas to get their approach shots, you know, close. And if they miss just by a foot one way or the other, that ball can roll for miles. You know, golfers will have, and also because of how firm the greens are, it makes the correct landing spot that much smaller as well. Most greens are elevated and are shaped like an upside down bowl along the edge, something like we saw this week at Houston. And they'll have little or no rough surrounding them, so many balls will be left in collection areas around the greens, which are always tough to get it up and down because of the firmness and quickness of the greens. The greens use bent grass, and they're always fast. Stip meter rating 13.5 or more. Bunkers and collection areas surround almost every green with water on a few of those holes as well. A couple of trends going into this event. Nobody with worse odds than 50 to 1 has won this in a very long time. I think like 8 years. So all the winners have been 50 to 1 or inside that. And here's the thing. The last 6 or 7 Masters, the winner has had a win or 2 top 5s in their 5 events leading up to their win at Augusta. There's only about 16 guys in the field that have this, and I'll name them off right now. So, I mean, I would guess that the winner will come from this group. Bryson, Rahm, JT, Rory, DJ, Xander, Cantlay, Reed, Bubba, Hatton, Webb, Finau, Wolf, Sergio, Kokrak, and Poulter. And so, of course, that doesn't really make it that much easier since all these guys are on the top end of the pricing on DraftKings. But, you know, that when it comes to trends, it looks like that's going to be around the area. And then you can sort of eliminate, what, Kokrak and Poulter because they're not within 50 to 1. I'm not sure what Sergio is either. I think maybe he's 66, maybe he's 50. I'm not sure. But that should give you an idea of what to look for this week. I don't know how much easier it'll make it when you actually do your picture at DraftKings. But it probably would help when you look at the betting cards. Tambo, what are you looking for in golfers this week?
It's a major, man. You know where I'm going long term. I'm looking at it. And, you know, it's kind of like what we always say here. But, you know, I'm going to be Brooks Koepka for a minute. This is, what, a 94, 95-man field? And, like, 25 or 30 can get deleted immediately. Because there's just no chance, you know, in my opinion anyway. So old guys, past champions, just some guys that barely sneak in, you know, happy to be here, excited, whatever, but there's not going to be no chance. So, you know, you get the odd Justin Harding, like a couple years ago or whatever, that stands out that you'll see make a run at it, but very rare. And you just mentioned, like, that list is basically the pool. So you're already down to, like, 70 guys, 65 guys, and then you just start building from there. I'll be mixing it up quite a bit this week, but, you know, as far as stats go, they're important. But at the same time, you know, course history is definitely a thing at Augusta more than other courses. But I'm always just going to take, like you said, some of the recent form mixed with the long-term stats and then start building and see what it looks like as you put them together. Try and be unique. Wait for some ownership and see what that looks like over the field because the top is extremely difficult with, you know, Dustin, Rory, Rahm, JT, and Bryson. You can make an argument for anyone there. So anyone trying to tell you hard and fast, it's this way only. It's going to be tough to do. So I'll be mixing it up quite a bit this week, Kenny.
I forgot. What's the cut rule for Augusta again? Is it 50 or 60? No,
it's anyone within 10 strokes, right? So
yeah, but isn't there a cutoff too? We'll get that down. It'll be in my article this week. I'll figure it out before then. That's one thing I forgot what the cut rule was. I know there's a 10-stroke rule. Is it top 50 or top 60? I'll figure that out. We'll get that in. I'll post it on Twitter before the tournament starts, and we'll figure that
out. Top 50 places or within 10 strokes of the leader score.
So it is top 50. Okay, yeah.
So it could be massive if there's, you know, the numbers at Augusta get tight, especially after just 2 days. So you never know how many people are going to make it through, but that's, you know, it's something to talk about too. I guess we're leaning into it. We're about to get into the tiers, but, you know, from a strategy perspective, there is something to be said for the Bryson conversation because, you know, when I'm deleting those guys out, as I'm saying, or just sort of Xing them out, if you will, that is a lot of the guys in the bottom tier of pricing. So then you look at what do those Bryson lineups actually look like. And if they do look good and he wins, how many of those lineups are then unique after that, if you don't have somebody random sneak through. So there's a lots of ways to look at it, but we've seen it in the past, you know, with Tiger, I think he was 5 figures when he won the Masters last year, which was random. He was like 10-1 or something. And you had a bunch of guys that you could balance it out with. Like, I remember Brooks was under 10K there, and you had Cantlay, X, all these guys, Finau, Poulter, everyone that was in the mix, that, you know, Molinari, everyone there, were all under. So balanced lineups were looking real good until Tiger came back and got the W. But even then, it was tough to find the exact lineup with him in it. So there was some tournaments in higher dollar buy-ins that didn't have him in it as the winner.
The problem with rostering Bryson this week, and from all that I've heard, he could destroy the course. So let's get to these tiers. Let's start off in this 10K range. We're going Dustin Johnson all the way to Bryson. Now, the thing about rostering Bryson this week is there's so many capable guys from, like, you know, like Cantlay, Xander, like, and then, you know, in the 9K range, Dustin, you know, and the thing is, like, I want to start my lineups with at least two guys in that high 9K, low 10K range. That's how I'm going to go about it. What you've seen the leaderboards here the last few years, it's always the top guys that are in the, that are in here contending when it comes on Sunday. So the issue with rostering Bryson is it's really hard to do that and then be able to roster the rest of your lineup appropriately with guys who actually have a chance. Now, it's not impossible. You could definitely do it. But, I mean, I'm going to build a lot of lineups maybe with three guys in the 9K range, going that way and then going low 7, high 6K for the rest, which is definitely doable. I'm thinking that's the way I am going to go. And that sort of eliminates Bryson for me, which is worrisome because from all what I've heard, he could literally destroy this course. Especially if it's going to play soft, with the rye and they're going to have to keep watering the grass every day, on the fairway. So it's going to play longer, with rain in the forecast as well. He's hitting 8-iron wedge, 9-iron, 8-iron into the par fives here. So I can't go against you if you want to play him, but from a lineup construction point of view, the way I want to build my lineups, I am not going to play Bryson. I'm starting a lot of my lineups with John Rahm. I think it's his time. He's the only golfer in the world, OWGR top seven, that has not won a major. He has good feelings here. A couple of top tens the last couple of years, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So the form is there when it comes to Augusta. You know, he's been playing really, really good golf. Long irons are strong. He'll have to hit a few of those, at least five or six, if he's going for these greens on the par fives. He's really good on long par fours. I think that's one of the big things, that one of the big reasons why I like Rahm. He is actually number two in this field in par four efficiency from 450 to 500 yards in the last 100 rounds, only behind Dustin Johnson, who is my first cash game cornerstone. So Rahm, my favorite GPP play in this range. I'll be rostering a bunch of him. And Dustin Johnson starts my cash game cornerstones this week. He could be 60, 70% owned in cash. I don't care. The guy just crushes here. His track record is unbelievable. The winning upside is there, and the price is too cheap for him. It's too cheap for the way that he's playing FedEx Cup champion, like five, six top sixes in a row or some crazy shit like that. I don't care what his ownership is in cash. I won't be playing him. I don't really even care what his ownership is in GPPs. At that price, you could start with him, still roster. You could go DJ Xander Cantlay. It was DJ Koepka Cantlay and still only have to roster like one 7K golfer or one 6K golfer. I could be wrong with that. My math is not great, which is a shame because I am Asian. But I think that's – so definitely I'm going to play these two guys. After what DJ showed this week, it seems like a lock button. I don't want to overthink it either. A lot of these times when you come to these majors, you overthink it. This is the – you don't – the Masters is the least amount you have to ever think of when it comes to an event, especially when it comes to these high-end plays. Play the guys you want to play. I wouldn't even worry about ownership. You can make that change in the bottom half. You know, you could leave some money on the table, do whatever you want. But I'm playing Dustin Johnson. I don't care what his ownership is.
Yeah, I couldn't say better, man. DJ is the one that is just – what do you think his ownership is going to be, 30% in something like the $20 Millie Maker?
Maybe more.
I would say, yeah. I think it's a good number to put on for right now. I know this is early and we're talking here, you know, Sunday evening as Sunday Night Football plays in the background. So – it can, you know, it's something to monitor if people are maybe it gets up to 35 and then, you know, in that range and then near the end of the week, people start pivoting away because there's lots of plays around it that we'll get into. So I could definitely see that. I could see some late Rory steam when people talking about it, going for his green jacket, right, as he's been trying so many times here. So maybe with the baby now and whatnot, a little more calming for him and it's a chance for him. But for sure, I'm with you on DJ. I'm definitely with you on Rahm. We've talked about that plenty on here in the past. It's a guy that we're just waiting on. We know he's going to win a major. If people that weren't on him haven't got on him yet, it's pretty obvious he's the talent, right? When you look at what he's done this season, since the restart even, some of these wins that he's taken down in tough fields, extremely tough courses, it's nothing that is – his mindset looks good. Everything looks on point. So certainly like Rahm and DJ the most. My third would actually be JT, trending in the right direction. He still doesn't have a top 10 at the Masters, but he's definitely trending. He's at three in a row, better finishes in his time here. So stats-wise, he shows up the best for me across the board. It just depends on, even on long-term, 50 rounds, 100 rounds, whatever you want to look at, he's number one on, you know, and on tee to green. And then if you look at the overall ranking, it comes number one because of his approach, bogey avoidance, some of his proximity stuff, par five scoring, all of these factors that line up. It just depends on what type of week he has. I think it was the last major we just watched where he really had like his C game or his B minus game, and he was still right in the mix. So I'm definitely in on JT as well for some shares, not as high on Bryson. You know, I've got plenty of reasons. We'll talk about the number I got later for betting wise that I feel okay. If he wins, I won't be hurting. And then Rory, like I said, it's just tough to decide, right? Maybe if there's a 2v2 or something where I have a few lineups that I love, the four value plays, and I can go DJ, you know, Xander, and instead of using them, I can go Rory, Cantlay. Maybe I'll do something like that in the odd lineup, but it's not going to be enough to talk about when it comes down to my overall builds.
All right, so let's go to this 9K range. I'll go with my second cash game cornerstone. It's not very shocking after what we saw this past week, especially on the weekend. Brooks Koepka at $9,700, the major killer, the big game hunter. The one thing I noticed him about at the Houston Open is he's been hitting his irons really, really well. You know, that's been his game. But he's been struggling off the tee and with his putter. Now, this week, his iron game wasn't the sharpest, but he gained 3.3 strokes off the tee and gained almost 6 strokes putting. Now, if he can keep that going and bring his irons back, I mean, it's Koepka. He can win this pretty handily. And so starting your cash builds with DJ and Koepka, I think it's going to be extremely popular, but I don't care. I'm not worried about ownership when it comes to cash. And even in GPPs, when it comes to these guys, I don't care. I think these two guys have just a good – I put, you know, Rahm, Bryson, DJ, and Koepka as the top four most likely to win in my book right now. I think those are the top four probably in some type of order. I can't really give the order yet of those four, but I think those – I'm not going out on a limb saying this, I know. But like I said, when it comes to the Masters, you don't have to overthink it. And I'm going with these guys. Now, when it comes to GPPs, Xander and Cantlay. I like Xander a lot. One of the better putters on bent grass, especially when it comes to this top level of the field. Another guy who I feel like in form going in, he looks really good. Seems like a major is within his grasp as well. Cantlay, who had the lead going into the back nine last year before Tiger came back and won. You know, with his win recently, the guy, I feel like, see, that's why I like, that's why probably why I can't play Bryson, because I'm going to play these guys in this range, and I'm going to have two or three of these guys in every single one of my lineups this week. So that's the way I'm going to go. I'll play Reed down below. It could be overlooked, especially, you know, with a lot. I don't think I'm the only one who's going to have this type of mind frame when it comes to making lineups. So Reed could be an overlooked type of guy. Again, a lot of right to left dog legs at Augusta. You'll see that a bunch. And of course, Reed is the drawer of the golf ball. And then I'm going to play Bubba at 9K as well. The form has been exceptional. He's been playing his best golf in a very, very long while. And he looks like he's ready to come back and have a good run. One last shot at a major for Bubba. And I think this is his best chance. But if you all told me the rank, these three guys, I'd go Koepka, Xander, Cantlay. 1, 2, and 3. It's not that shocking. They're both high up there. Those are my three favorite. But I'll have flyers on Reed and Bubba. Who do you like?
I'm with you on a couple at the top. I like Xander and Cantlay quite a bit. I just think you got to go back to it here. And like you said, that the fact that, you know, Brooks showed up a little bit this week, just 1 week, that's going to get in everyone's mind. It couldn't be a more perfect time for me. The price is right for most. I think he's going to gain some ownership here at 9,700. Obviously a major killer, so we know what it's about. But I like Xander. I think, you know, his time is near. I think Cantlay just showed it. He's ready to keep it going. He just won. I mean, he's definitely in form. And then when you drop down, there's just too many guys I like at the bottom, so I can't play everybody. I like Webb. I like Reed, who you just mentioned, and I definitely like Bubba, right? Bubba just seems to be at that right price. He almost seems a little bit underpriced, kind of like DJ. them sitting right on the bubble at 10K and 9K, I could see it flip-flopped. Like, it's not a bunch of money, but I could have saw Bubba come in here at 94 or 95 and see Morikawa or Hatton especially drop down. So I'm not really going to avoid that. If people want to go off them, I don't mind. But Bubba at 9K is definitely interesting just for the recent form. The course history is one thing here, but it's really more about what he's been doing lately and, you know, just long-term what he can do. So I like a guy like Bubba for this course at 9K, probably the most in this range. X and Cantlay, like I said, up at the top. And then you mentioned the in-between will go a little bit more overlooked with a guy like Reed. Always like Reed. We love the villain, Kenny. And Webb might be off of people's radars at 9,300. I think whenever we see him at that price tag, we typically talk about how he's a little bit underrated. I know he hasn't done much lately, but we've seen him, you know, times where he hasn't been talked about or before he was a bigger name and got back into the mix at the Players that year. He'll just come up out of nowhere at a tough course with a tough field and bang it out. And next thing you know, he's winning by a bunch of strokes. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that actually here at 9,300. So I like Webb for GPPs as well.
All right, so let's move on to this 8K range. Tampa, why don't you just go ahead?
Yeah, so a couple guys here. I like Adam Scott. Always does well at the Masters. You know, this is one here before. I think this is a spot for him to come back around. We've been waiting on him. Again, another guy just showing a little bit of flash lately. But if you go and look at long-term stats, we know how good he is, right? You look at everything, tee to green, approach, greens in regulation, par five scoring, everything's there. The next two right behind him show up for me are Deki and Finau. I worry a little bit about Deki just because, again, is he going to do the same thing that he just did here this weekend and pop off and have all these stats across the board and be able to put up? Like today was a 7-under round to get T2 with DJ. Can he carry that over? The media, you know, I'm not sure what it's going to be like. We always struggles at these majors, but you can never overlook the fact that it's like Fowler, right? These guys are still looking for their first major. He's still young enough, not what we're used to seeing nowadays with these young guns and Wolf, Hovland, Morikawa, Hovland's not here, but Morikawa and Wolf, who we could talk about. We skipped over Morikawa. I don't even know if he had thoughts on him, but he already won a major this year since the restart. So I guess if he shows up with his irons, he could be in the mix as well. But I like that Matsuyama's a bunch cheaper here. So it just worries me if he gets like 30%, then, you know, like DJ, that's sort of the starting build as people did this week. You then have guys like Scott and Finau right there. And then if you drop down to, you got Matthew Wolf, who I kind of like there, then it really drops off. I'll let you talk about the rest of the 8K range. I guess, you know, Matt Wolf and maybe a little bit of Jason Day, but I'm not even in love with that. Just think about the past history here. The rest of the guys, you know, it's throwing darts with a guy like Garcia, Spieth, Fowler, you know, Casey would be interesting at 8K straight. But other than that, you know, my favorites are going to be Scott, Finau, Matsuyama, Wolf with a little bit of Day, maybe a little bit of Casey.
So Deki is my third cash game cornerstone. Not shocking. I'm going with the guys who played well this week. Current form going in, like I said in that stat below, super important when it comes to Augusta. You have to be playing well leading into this tournament to have a chance. You don't see too many people with poor form come in. I mean, there's a couple of odd people who have done it, but it's rare. So Deki's cash game cornerstone, number three. Again, another guy who's exceptional at longer par fives, top 10 in this field in par four efficiency from 450 to 500 yards. One of the best around the green here. That's one thing about his game is really dramatically improved since his younger days. And God, he's not even that old. How old is he? Like 26, 27? I mean, he's still really, really young. But his around the green game has improved tremendously. Hopefully he doesn't need to use that often because he'll be hitting plenty of these greens. He learned how to putt this past week, so that could be a big thing. So we'll see how that goes. But Deki is my third cash game cornerstone. I know those three guys that I have so far, DJ, Koepka, and Deki, they're going to garner like 150% combined ownership in cash games. But I don't care. I'm not overthinking. The one thing I will say about this 8K range is I think that it might be a dead zone for ownership this week with all these studs up top. I think it's very possible that we get a lot of lower ownership outside of Hideki in this range. Now, the way I'm rostering, if I go two 9K guys instead of three, I can definitely go in this range still. And so that's another reason why I can't roster Bryson, because then I have to skip this range completely, basically is what it comes down to. It really limits your lineup building potential. Now, again, Bryson could go out there and just win this by 10 strokes. So a little bit worried about that, but I'm just going with what I think I need to do to make a good, successful lineup. So in this range, I do like Sergio a little bit. Again, a win a few weeks ago, former champion here. The game looks pretty good. So I'm going Sergio this week. I'm also going to be playing I think I'm only going to be playing one person out of Scott and Finau, and I haven't decided which one I am going to play. Adam looked really good the first couple of days. You know, maybe the COVID made him tired and he struggled on the weekend a little bit. But, you know, the guy flashes form at Augusta. He's always done well, but so does Tony. Tony crushes at majors. So I'm probably going to play one of those two. If I can get both of them in, I might. And then I think those are the main guys that I will be focusing on this week. I think I might play a little bit of Jason Day as well. The thing about Day, I think he is the best putter in this field on bent grass greens in the last 100 rounds. If he can get his iron game to keep going like it has been, I mean, we've seen glimpses of the old number one in the world, Jason Day, more in the last – since the restart than we have in the past couple of years. Like, we've seen glimpses of that game coming back. So I think I will play a little bit of Jason Day. Let's move on to the 7K range. Another reason why I probably won't be on Bryson is because I really like the lower part of the 7K range. I like a lot of golfers down below. And I'll go ahead and start with my final cash game cornerstone. It's going to be Ian Poulter at $7,000. Good track record at Augusta. Plenty of made cuts here. Has the experience to be, you know, of this course. He knows how to play it. Really good form. I think three straight top 15s, if I'm not mistaken, when you include a European tour. So coming in, the form is there. So I like Ian Poulter a lot this week. He will be my final cash game cornerstone pick for the Masters. And, you know, and so my four cash game cornerstones this week are going to be Dustin Johnson at 10K, Brooks Koepka at 9,700, Hideki Matsuyama at 8,700, and Ian Poulter at 7,000. That's going to leave you around $14,700 left, somewhere around there. So plenty of money to fill out the rest of your lineups. In the top range of the 7K, I'm not the biggest fan of most of these guys. I think the one guy I will play is Usti. He's probably the only guy that I am looking at playing over $7,500 this week. You know, runner-up Grand Slam. The guy always shows up in majors. Good with his longer irons. So we're going Usti up top. And then I like this bottom range a fair amount. I like Cam Smith coming in with great form. Once again, good with his longer irons. Shane Lowry had a really good showing this past week, and he's been doing pretty well across the pond as well. The form is there. And that's, again, I keep mentioning this, but it's something I am keying on big time is form leading in to this tournament. So I like Lowry. I like Kevin Kisner. Again, another guy who putts exceptionally well on bent. Had a good showing the last time he was out. And I'm going Kokrak at 7,000. Long enough. Gains a bunch off the tee. Really good on long par fours. Really good on with his proximity for 200 plus. Depending on his number, he might be one of my favorite bets for top 20s this week. It's really early, so we'll see how that goes. But I like Kokrak down below. Who do you like?
I'll go bottom up because you just took what I was going to – one of my bets for the end of the show. I was going to steal your thunder on a top 20 bet this week, and it's going to be Kokrak. I love your Poulter take. Poulter's a guy that's made me a lot of money in the past. I certainly love Ian Poulter. He's got very consistent form coming in. But the thing about Kokrak that stands out to me the most is not just, you know, so if you look at his long-term stats, they pop off the board. Top 16 in greens of regulation, driving, long irons, top 20 in par five scoring, 25th in tee to green, all lines up. But that's not just it. So he finally gets the monkey off his back, gets a win. If you remember, that's not why he's here, right? Kenny, this Masters is not about that. That win would be for the next Masters in April. He's here because, remember, if you recall back, he snuck in to the Tour Championship last year, had to stand by while, I forget who it was, missed a bunker shot, left it short and missed the putt, and he ends up sneaking into the top 30, goes on to do pretty well for his first showing last year at the Tour Championship. So in a spot where he is a debutant, we want to talk about that all the time in these majors, I think he's got a chance to be one of the best ones. I think the upside's there, the ability, the stats, everything is all there, and the nerves, right? What? How could you ever feel more confident just coming in off of a win when you finally get the monkey off your back, when he got it at Shadow Creek there just a little while ago? So I love that.
For pretty guys strong, like, field that he played absolutely against Shadow Creek too. So yeah, I mean,
I'm saying he doesn't seem to fear it. Yeah. He just hasn't had the putter cooperate for him at times. And sure enough, when it does, and again, here it's about, you know, upside, you know, making the cut, and then how much upside can he give you? Well, the cut is likely. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. I'm not going to try and jinx. I don't really believe in that. I'm saying, but my point is, it's a guy that you would expect to make this cut, especially. He fits into that. He's in your group of 15, 16 guys that you brought up at the top, right? For the obvious reasons of the win and whatnot, everything that goes with it, the stats. So I love Kokrak this week. He'll be a strong play of mine. Definitely like him for a top 20. I've debated further. I haven't looked at the latest odds on him. Obviously, I wasn't picking up a number of him at the Masters after Shadow Creek. It wasn't really the top of my mind. So maybe that's a miss by me, but I can't imagine the numbers that different. I'll have to go and look. But I like Poulter. I like Kokrak. I like Kisner. He's another guy, but it's sort of like what we always talk about with him, where he's going to, you know, be the guy that makes the cut. But what's that mean here? And then gets you, you know, a 25th or a 30th. That'd be okay at 7,100. So I'll take it. I'll skip this guy because I want to ask your opinion on him. I'll come back to him. But Answer, I think, is interesting. I would have loved Neiman here at the same price, but I'll take Answer because it is more of a grinded out course, make the cut, not make very many mistakes, you know, bogey avoidance, big on his radar, amazing driver of the golf ball when he's on. Plus now we've got the Carlos Ortiz inspiration factor, right? You talked about at the top of the show, that's got to inspire him a little bit to get
that's
a pop. And I'm sure
that's
extremely
true.
Happy for his boy. So, you know, that's awesome. And then I think a couple others here, just real quick, Matthew Fitzpatrick, strong fields. He can just sneak in the back door. We saw it at the Memorial, right? When he had bones on his bag, little things like that, where he's got a good enough game all around that it's not going to be, you know, 25 under here or something like that. It's the Masters. So you don't see that very often. And what I think it'll be is a good enough number where we could see Fitzpatrick do some damage at 7,600. If people want to take chances on Rose or Scheffler and that, I get it. Scheffler would be interesting, but the two I kind of like here, rounding it out, one, the guy I like the most at the top, you know, not going to go on a tangent like I did about Kokrak, but Louis O in a major, always talking about. You mentioned it already, but we've been going on this tear for a while now. I talk about him at every major. He has not disappointed. So I'm going to go with him at 7,900. I think everything lines up for him. Stats are good, long-term, major performances. The trends of coming in, just what he looks like short-term, long-term, everything is all there for Louis O at 7,900. An extremely fair price, especially, we'll see, but if the ownership really creeps on to Paul Casey there, who has the better stats, if you're going to look at models and things like that and go backwards, I think that's going to be a thing. And you could go to Louis there, right, at the bottom, you know, $100 less at 7,900. But give me your take here. I'm really not sold yet, but I'm feeling good about it, kind of. What's your thoughts on Lee Westwood at 7,200?
I wish he played a little better this past week. Definitely thinking about it. He's been playing well across the pond. I think it's definitely doable. The guy has played this tournament extremely well. He's had a couple of close calls, really good with on long par fours. I think I could be convinced to play Mr. Westwood this week.
Yeah, big thing for me that stood out. Like I said, I'm not all the way there yet because it feels, I don't know, it just doesn't feel ideal at 7,200. I also want to see if, you know, everyone else is thinking the same thing, but I'm sure this will come up. 13th at the U.S. Open. Fourth at the Open. This is all since the restart. The Open was, or sorry, the July was the last one, sir, for the Open, but the U.S. Open is just in September 13th. And then also, you know, this season, the 2020 season, 22nd at WGC Mexico. And then he also got fourth at Honda. So, you know, which we were there, right? So, you know, that was Sungjae's win. So he was in the mix, and Tommy Fleetwood and Hughes and his mom and everyone right there in the middle of it all. But Westwood was right there in the mix. Another tough course. Strong field. So I think there's just something to look at there. And then we know his history here at the Masters is interesting. So with, again, looking at my numbers right now, Kenny, and going back, you know, I'm at like 16, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20. I'm at like 25 golfers and we're through the 7K range. We're going to the sixes. That's really where I'm at with this field right now. So it's extremely, you know, tight as far as the pool looks in general. When it, like I said, I'm thinking it's between 60 to 70 golfers that are even in consideration I'm now again doubling down on the Brooks Koepka take and saying, but there's only really, you know, I'm just taking it to a DFS perspective, 25 or 30 that I feel good about here in this field, right? You can make cases for a bunch, but these are the ones I feel strongest about early on in the week. And typically you and I both know this, that the early week takes sometimes work out, right? I know we've got some good late week calls, and that's why you follow all of our stuff across the industry. But I think that the early stuff is always good, man. And I feel good about this pool as of right now. But the 6K range is where we got to go next. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I'm having a tough time down here. There's only really four or five guys that stand out for me.
Yeah, well, one thing I did forget about Ian Poulter, another reason why I like him, he's top 10 in strokes gained par five. In par five scoring in the last 100 rounds in this field. And I like your Fitzpatrick take as well, even though I hate him now after his comments about Fitzpatrick, about Bryson. You know, as short as he is, the guy has the game to do well on long courses, and he's really good on par fives as well. 12th in strokes gained par five in the last 100 rounds, even though he only hits it about 280 off the tee. So I like that take. I'll probably play him as well. But, you know, going back, my favorite plays in the 7K range are Usti, Poulter, and Kokrak. I know we talked about a bunch of them, but those are the three guys that I will be keying on this week in the 6K range. I think I'm going to play – there's a couple of guys up top. I'm going to play old man Zach Johnson. We've seen that, you know, his iron play has been getting a little better. Overall, his iron play is pretty damn good over the last 100 rounds. If you look, taking the long-term form, and he's been stepping it up here a bit here recently. I know his win was about 12, 13 years ago, but, of course, he's won here. So I'll play him. I'll try to play him at 6,800. I will play Munoz at 6,700. Again, a birdie machine, really good on long par fours. Above average on par five scoring. The guy's coming in fairly good form. He's been playing good golf, and especially at that price, I got no problem. I'll be playing Molinari. Looks like he might be back. He showed a little glimpse of something this past week in Houston. If he's like 15, 18% owned, it might change my mind, but we'll see. This is where when you get down to this lower range is when I'll be keying a little bit more on ownership. The upper range, I do not care. The lower range, I might fade some guys depending on the projected ownership. If he's more than 15%, I don't think I will play. Francesco Molinari, we'll see how that goes. I'll be playing Corey Connors again, another good showing this past week. He gained something like three or four strokes putting the first couple of days. If he could do that, you know his ball striking is elite. You know, he's top 10 in both strokes gained approach and strokes gained off the tee in the last 100 rounds in this field. So, I mean, just numbers wise, but we all know it comes down to the putter for Mr. Connors. And I'll probably play Lanto as well. Oh, no, Lanto and JT Poston. Poston's iron game looks real strong in the $6,300. I think you can make a case for him in GPPs. I could go with that. And of course, I might be biased because he won me a bunch of money this past week getting in the top 20. But I think he's the lowest I'll go. He's probably the only one under 6,500 that I will play this week. Again, another reason against Bryson for me.
Yeah, the lineups to build. I get what you're saying. You can still get there, though. Like you talked about already, you're some of your favorite plays in the 7K range, Kokrak, Poulter, Bryson. Sorry, Kokrak, Poulter, and then you go up to Bryson. You've got money to play with at that point.
Well, also, when it comes to those, liking that seven, that low 7K range, makes it a lot easier to do three 9K guys. I can go Brooks, Xander, Reed, and then I can do three guys over and not even touch the 6K range.
I agree.
You know, you can still do that. You can still do that when you're making your lineups. That's why I like that 9K range so much. Two or three golfers in that 9 to 10K range, Rom down to the guys that I was talking about, and then filling it out with these guys at 70 in the low 7Ks, who I think all have upside, you know. So I like that sort of play going into it when I'm building my lineups this week.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you, man. Like I said, that's why I'm opting to build more lineups than just stick all the money in on a single entry, because at the end, it's not a single entry tournament. That's what I say with one entry, because I want to play some of these angles. And like you said, you could get those two and then balance it out with a bunch of guys that you absolutely love. But if everyone else is doing that, then, you know, there's got to look for ways to get different. You got to take a little bit of risk on and maybe add one of the 6K guys with Bryson and then still have Bryson with two pretty decent, quote unquote, studs or mid-tier guys that you don't have a problem with as we went through above there. There's not a bunch, but there's enough of them in that range, right? There's a lot of guys that we mentioned that we like. So I like your take there. Going into my guys down here, the ones that stand out the most, we'll say this. So EVR, sneaky top 20 this week. We always like him in these stronger fields when he's cheap. And here he is, 6,900. So we love that. Lanto Griffin, the Rick Gaiman rule, under 7K. I know it's the Masters, but honestly, man, he's shown up everywhere you've told him to show up. I don't care what the field is, the strength, the who's in it, what the sizing is, doesn't matter. He's shown up where you need him. So at 6,600, you have to have some of them, at least if you're going to multi-enter. I think that's a great play to have. I like Connors right next to him. I like your take on old man Zach Johnson. So there's a few that stand out. After that, it gets pretty bleak and not too much I really like. I guess, you know, Ches Reavy, Victor Perez, like we're pulling hairs here. One thing about this, and I know everybody reads this already, but Ben Coley's article, man, it's incredible, right? He does the full breakdown of all the players. This is where you can see pretty quickly. It's over on Sporting Life where you can just cancel so many guys out. And one of the things I like with Victor Perez, I already like him, you know, from watching stuff in the Euro Tour and stuff like that. But he talked about, you know, a couple different things here. What was the one that stood out? 22nd in the PGA Championship, which you can look up anywhere. But I like this little tidbit he added was Rory's former caddy on the bag. So this is Victor Perez.
Okay.
Good player, good European player coming over here. Another debutant, of course. But like he says, that'll help mitigate a lack of course experience. And if his iron play is as good as it can be, he can match that major debut here. So again, friend of the pod, Ben Coley, we've had him on. We'll get him on again. Absolute stud when it comes to these things and pointing out little things. The article is incredible. He puts all these little things without. He drops like tweets from the past of just some funny shit that you got to go check it out. Like, I think it was Shane Lowry off the tee swearing and the announcer's just like, well, sorry about that, folks. But yeah, he puts all this cool stuff in there. And I thought that one stood out to me and I already kind of liked him a little bit. So I think at 6,500, that'd be a way to get different if people are going to go Lanto, Corey Connors. And then the other guy I always like in majors, good around the green game, strong all-around game, Bezuidenhout, right? We've talked about him in the past as well. I think he'd be an interesting play at 6,600. I can't remember the Euro event that stands out as sort of like a correlation of some kind, but I think he won it this past year. So he's another guy that stands out to me down here at 6,600. Other than that, though, Kenny, like I said, it gets really tough after that besides just throwing darts. Is there anyone from, say, 6,400 or down that you could get down with?
Poston's probably the only guy.
Poston, yeah, I heard you say that. I guess that's your boy, and he snuck in there for you. It wasn't by his doing. It was by Wally Vanderwaltz or whatever.
Well, especially since he bogeyed two of the last three holes, and I thought he was going to break my heart. But Dolly hooked it up.
Yeah, Dolly Vanderwaltz, man, he did it.
No, I remember playing Dolly in, like, 2015-16. Back in the day. I used to roster him all the time back then. That's probably why I lost a whole bunch of money. Back then, but I remember rostering him a bunch back when I first started playing DFS 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, it was nice. I never played him, and I'm not sure how you did with him back then. I was definitely playing at that time, and I don't remember winning. I don't remember seeing anyone have him in the winter, and I don't remember losing any money by not having him. So
I think he had one. I think he had one top 10, and I think I rostered him in that event. I think it was Mayakoba in 2015. And I think he finished top 10. I think it's his only top 10 of his career. And then I just started rostering him a bunch again after that. And then I continually lost money until I got better. So that's just the way it works. All right. Anybody else in the 6K range?
We got to talk about two more names before we move on.
Okay.
It's just because it's a waste of time, I think. But Fred Couples and Bernhard Langer. No, in this range. Then we could talk about if you want to go sort of around the world on some of these other guys. But you got two guys at 6,100. Obviously, you wouldn't put two of them in the same lineup, or I definitely wouldn't, but you've got Fred Couples and Bernhard Langer at 6,100. Any thoughts on either of those guys? I know it's Champions Tour stuff, it's course history stuff, but I do think, you know, some people would want to bring it up. So what's your thoughts on those guys? Would you play any of them?
I think with the course going to be playing as long as it is this week with the rye and the watering and the rain, I don't think I'm going to be on those guys.
Yeah, I might jam one lineup or something and just put my five favorite plays, like what fits with a guy like Langer, just because he's coming off. You know, he's doing well on the Champions Tour. It's nothing even close to comparison, but the some of the stuff.
I mean, look at Phil. Phil's won like his first all of his events, and he can't even make the fucking cut on the PGA Tour. It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Oh, it's a massive difference. Exactly. Yeah. No, for sure. I just think, like I said, that I never am talking about course history besides when, you know, people are asking about it for the stats or the numbers or what we go through here on the show. And I think that if there ever was a course, we've talked about this plenty, is that this is the place, right? So, you know, we've seen it years before. What was it when Fred Couples got a top 20 or whatever? He knows all the little tricks, right? All the backdrops, all the things. I mean, who's going to know about it more? I don't know if they have more experience somehow in a month like November. I know normally the course isn't active or ready to go, but you never know, right? They've got many years on them, Kenny. Let's just say that, where there could be a possibility for some experience to know a little bit more, and anything could happen at Augusta. So I'm not advocating for them. I just think those would be the only two names that would even come up down in this range as a possibility. So other than that, man, not much else. Did you want to talk about guys? Like, what's the sort of other guys? Spieth, Fowler?
Yes or no? Yes or no on Spieth?
No, no, never.
Yes or no on Fowler?
No.
I'm with you on that. I actually picked Fowler to win the Masters in the original beginning of the year pod where we tried to pick the winners of the thing. And I don't know. Here's the thing. I did hear an interview with him where he says, you know, off the tee, he's been really, really good. He just needs to improve on his irons. I think he's been working with somebody on his iron play. So we'll see how that goes. I'm probably not going to roster him.
Just on that note, if I was playing one of them, it would be Fowler. I'll put like a course history Spieth lineup together. These are just, when I say no, I mean like these are, you know, one lineup guys if I do it or something. But the other thing about Fowler is, you just mentioned it, John Tillery. This was another tidbit from Ben Coley's article. I just found this stuff out. I try and pay attention more as much as most, at least if not more, try and catch on to these things. And did you know that Fowler left Butch Harmon, which I think was out there. I'd heard stuff about that, or the Harmon camp, if you will. And then did you know that Siwoo Kim joined it and replaced? And who's crushing right now and who isn't? I know maybe not this past week. He missed a guy. It's one event. It's Houston Open. Who has been crushing lately? It's been Siwoo Kim over a guy like Fowler. Both players winners in the past. You know, it's just kind of funny to see, right? And then, you know, coaching, it's, you know, where Ricky can't really put it all together. It's been interesting. I could see why you'd go to him. I definitely think there's something there about a mindset factor, right? When someone just, you know, a guy like Decky, guy like Fowler, you could even put like Westwood, Kuchar, these types of guys in the mix. I know it's, you know, off the board, but these are just the mindset, or the guys that want a major so bad that they're going to turn it on, and they can at any time. But it doesn't always work that way. Spieth wants to get back to being great, and he's having a struggle with it. So you can want it as bad as you want. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but there is, you know, this is a magical place, Kenny. It's Augusta, right? It's Augusta in November. This is anything goes, anything could happen. I would play Fowler over Spieth if it was me at that spot.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to watching this week. The messed up thing is I'm flying into Dallas for work on Sunday. And so I will be on a plane for the final round. Luckily, my boss paid up for first-class tickets, and the plane has Wi-Fi. So the issue I'm going to have is I'm going to have a couple cocktails, of course, you know, before I get on the plane and during the plane, you know, maybe. And then watching this tournament, and if I have a sweat going into Sunday, if you hear about some Asian guy getting arrested on a flight from D.C. to Dallas, it's probably going to be me, because I'm going to have to be watching this event on the plane on Sunday. And if I have a sweat going, I don't know if I'm going to be able to contain myself with all these people on the plane, and they might have to arrest me when I land. So we'll see how that goes. If one of my bets wins, I'll probably get arrested, and I'll probably, you know, not even be able to work for the next 3 weeks in Dallas. But let's go to bets first. Let's go to bets. Who you got this week?
I was going to say, you don't have to have a sweat to be the Asian guy getting arrested on that flight, I don't think. It could just be the drinks and who knows what, right? No, I got a few, Kenny, but not much, man. I'm going off of old numbers here, so it's not going to be enticing for anybody else, but just so the tickets are out there, I got Siwoo at 150-1 from previous. I think he's still like 100 or 125, maybe even 150 in some places. I just like that when he was turning it on a little bit. I've got Reed at 50 on my same book, shows at 28-1, so I'm happy about that number. And then by far the best one, 45-1 on Bryson. Got that a long time ago, just betting him everywhere. So excited about that. I just, you know, I don't see it, but if it does happen, I definitely feel like that's Bryson's MO here though, right? He either does it or he doesn't. I don't necessarily see like a third place Bryson. I think
it's, well, the issue is he's of the people in the field, he's been one of the worst putters at Augusta in his time that he's played here. Bryson has. So that's one thing you could think of when it comes down to him. I'm just trying to find something to make it so they're not playing him other than just lineup construction. Because I mean,
No greens books. He can literally
destroy this course. So we'll see how this goes. All right. So my bets, I got six and I'm sticking with the rule. A nobody greater than 50-1 has won this tournament in a while. So all of my bets are shorter odd bets, but I want to win. So that's the way I'm going about it. So I got Rahm at 11-1, Xander at 14-1, Koepka at 16-1, Cantlay at 25-1, Bubba at 33-1, Adam Scott at 50-1. So that's how I'm going this week with the betting card. I'll have probably my top 20 bets later on this week. Did we miss anything? One and done. I have no idea who I have left.
Yeah, I know I'm dead. That's what I know.
Yeah, about that. Play your best golfer available.
Play your strategy. Now your strategy is pretty simple. We're down to the wire, so it's you're playing to win money and level up. If for some reason you're completely out of it, like me, and you just have no chance at getting to the top, then you just look for a unicorn, and it's going to be tough because even this week I saw Josh posted out for the Gups Corner one and done that it was Carlos Ortiz was still used twice. And you need it to be a unicorn. You need a single to get the skin. So it's really tough at this point of the year to get that. Take your chances if you're out of it completely. Otherwise, play who you've got left, who you think is going to actually win this thing and get as much money into the pot as possible for yourself to try and level yourself up to the top.
Yeah, I have no idea who I have left. So I don't even know. Play your best guy left because the season's coming down to the wire. So play whoever top-notch dude you have left and throw him in there and don't even think twice about it. All right. So do we miss anything? We good to go?
Good to go, man. That should be good.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can also find my article every week on GupsCorner.com. I've been crushing the betting aspect. It's been really good here. Since the new season has started, I feel more like myself. It's been a little bit, more winning weeks than losing weeks is always something you like to see. So make sure you go on Gups Corner, check my Twitter feed for a promo code to get on there.
Vegas Kenny, man. Vegas Dave's brother. Get the 50-star whale play this week. Jason Kokrak, top 20. It's going to go down, Kenny. I'm with you on it this week. I'm going to tail you, man. This is the one. So
that's good. I'm definitely going to bet him. I don't know if that'll be my favorite bet. You'll have to see the article to see that. But I think that's going to be on the list.
Absolutely, man. I love it. You guys know where to find me on Twitter at Toteg and Tambo. Hit me up there if you have any questions. Other than that, rotogrinders.com, doing a show every single day, either PGA or NFL related. And then keep in mind for the podcast, guys, we need some, likes, reviews, comments, ratings. We don't ask for them enough. We just keep doing our thing. But that's a way you can go out free, hook us up, get us hooked up in the ratings, give us a comment, a like, everything there if you're not already subscribed. But I think the big thing is once NFL turns off, we'll have some NBA stuff out there, but golf will be the only show in town again for most, and we're still going to be here doing our thing. So we do appreciate everyone. Thank you for all the support. Check out rotogrinders.com, who sponsors and presents this podcast each week. rotogrinders.com/DJ and get yourself $5 off the core four. Other than that, good luck everyone this week, and I'll let Kenny send us out.
All right. So it's a big week. It's Augusta week. It's one of the best weeks of the year. It's going to be so much fun. Let's win some motherfucking money. DJ Nation.